Good morning, everyone. What a lovely morning it is today. It's fantastic to see you all here. And for those listening online, thank you for joining us. What an amazing morning. And this is the last week under the old COVID rules. So fingers crossed they don't come back. And from next week, we'll be singing again, right? So let's look forward to that. Everyone start getting your singing voices going again. And we'll look forward to doing that in church. Friends, we've come together to meet with God, to express our fellowship in the Lord Jesus, and to take our part in the building of his church. We will praise and thank him for his goodness towards us, hear from his holy word, and pray for the world and for ourselves. Since we believe that Jesus, our Saviour, has ascended into heaven and opened the way into God's presence for us, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast to the hope we profess and consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. I'm going to open our time together with a word of prayer, so please pray with me. God our Father, we pray that the message of your Son will dwell richly among us as we teach and admonish one another with the wisdom you give and sing with thankfulness in our hearts to you, and whatever we do in word or deed, may it be done in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen. So today we're right at the end of our series on the book of Romans, and Trevor will be finishing up with the end of Romans 15. And it's a lovely passage that shows the depth and breadth of relationships that exist in the Christian community and the pleasure that comes from knowing each other and having time with each other. So it's a really lovely window into that community, which I think is reflective of our community. So we'll look forward to what Trevor has to bring on that part of Romans 15 later on. But as we start the service, let's stand together and acknowledge our Almighty God with these words from Revelation. Together. Great and wonderful are your deeds, Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who shall not revere and praise your name, O Lord? For you alone are holy. All nations shall come and worship in your presence, for your just dealings have been revealed. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and might, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. So having just reminded ourselves of God's almighty presence, we know that we fall far short of the way we should be acting as people who are in a relationship with our almighty Creator. The book of Acts tells us that God commands all people everywhere to repent because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. The Bible also tells us not to hide our sins from God, our Heavenly Father, but to confess them with a repentant and obedient heart, so that we may be forgiven through his boundless goodness and mercy. So let us approach the throne of our gracious God with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, and pray this together. Merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the schemes and desires of our own hearts and have broken your holy laws. We have left undone what we ought to have done, and we have done what we ought not to have done. Yet, good Lord, have mercy on us. Restore those who are repentant according to the promises declared to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant, merciful Father, for his sake, that from now on we may live godly and obedient lives to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God and loving Father, we rejoice that you have demonstrated your righteousness through presenting Christ as a sacrifice of atonement for us. We trust that you pardon and forgive those who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Grant us true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that we may live godly, righteous, and holy lives, and finally come to your eternal glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Kay's going to come up in a moment and read today's passage for us, and then Trevor will preach, so let me pray for us as we do that. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing us the way of salvation through faith in your Son. Teach us through your word and equip us for every good work, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
Nice to be here, isn't it? Okay, Romans 15, 14 to 33. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. By the power of signs and wonders, through the power of the Spirit of God, so from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel to Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there, after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I'm on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, and that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be favorably received by the Lord's people there, so that I may come to you with joy by God's will and in your company be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be
to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's good to see you all. Turn around to the people again and just say good morning. The Lord be with you and also with you. Those of you at home, the Lord be with you and also with you. God bless you, dear. It will be good when we can return to things normal again, and starting a little bit with that next week, Lord willing, with singing through our masks, but more to come with that a little bit later on. As David said, we come to the end of our sermon series through Romans, and congratulations, well done for coming on this long travelling journey, climbing mountains, coming to plateaus. I'm sure there are a few of us here that would most likely say, it's been a long read and a long journey, but I'm sure we've learnt much along the way. Well, I hope we have, from God's word as his spirit has guided us, and those in our Bible studies as well too. I heard and I understand that during these COVID-19 days, whilst being in lockdown and then restricted from seeing one another, letter writing has returned to things, and cards. Hands up if you have written a letter to somebody or a card during this time. Have you? Okay, all right, about a third. I thought a lot more of that would have been done. But see me letter writing and writing cards, taking the time to write letters to people. My mum, whenever she used to write a letter to me when I was away on a camp, you know, would always end off her letters with, now make sure you pack all these such and suches away. You know, make sure you bring back all the clothes, the dirty clothes that you've got. There'd be some little at the end of the letters of personal, of making sure that I'd done things right before I got home. Paul ends his letter to the church in Rome here with a number of final statements. And usually, if you think back to when you write a letter or an email or a card, the last words on that card or that email or that letter are usually words that you want ringing in their ears, usually, the last little thing. It could be yours sincerely or God bless or your brother or sister in Christ or looking forward to seeing you or catching up with you on the weekend. It's usually something of real importance that the writer wants remembered. And in these last two chapters that I'm going to summarise today, not just chapter 15, but in these last two chapters of 15 and 16, Paul has much to say in summing up what's important about the work that God has got him to do and is doing through his people. And so the title for the sermon here is Learn from Those Who Teach Us. Heed their wisdom. Learn from Paul. Learn from what he's now going to tell us in these final chapters. Well, the final chapter can be divided up into six little sections, really. Romans chapter 15, verses 14 through to 22, verses 23 to 29, 30 through to 33, and then chapter 16, three times in that. I'm going to break them all up. And if you've got your Bibles there open in front of you or your phones, you can turn to that. It's a lot to put up on the screen today, so I'm trusting that you may have brought a Bible along or have actually can remember the reading and or opening up your phones to look at that today. But in chapters 14, verses 14 to 22, Paul there is concerned about reminding the church that everybody needs to hear the good news about the gospel. God desires for all people to be saved, not only those who come and join us, and seek us out, seek Christ out, but to those who are in our community. The church is one that's thinking inclusively of all the people that it can reach as it comes to it, and also to its community around about us. One of the great things about it being an Anglican church is that we're a church of the cure of all souls. We have parishes. We're thinking of the people in our area as well, not just our local gathering together of his people. And I understand that even though there's no words, but the bell ringing of a morning and an evening when it has reminded a few people here of the things of God, and a few people have gone out of their way to write to me or have told me that it's helped them to think of deeply on the things of God because the bell's rung. Imagine what it is when we share with them the gospel with them as well. So Paul in these final little bits has said, that's what God has called me to be. He set me apart to be a messenger of the gospel to all people, but particularly to those Gentiles, to non-Jews, to people who didn't have the background like Jews had of the scriptures and the traditions, but the people whom God had already, long time past, had desired to be saved as well. And so in this letter of Paul to the church in Rome, he has been working through, and I hope you've seen this, that he's wanting the Jewish Christians in Rome to accept the Gentile Christians and vice versa. That it's about being one in Christ together. And it started off by reminding them that all people needed to be saved. All are sinners, all fall short of the glory of God, and everyone needs to hear the good news about Jesus. No one was righteous, no one is right before God, except through the work of Jesus Christ alone. And all need to hear this, for Christ died for all. And so the last thing Paul sort of ends in these last little verses, verses 14 to 22, if you look there with you, is that he's reminding us to seek to reach all. It's easy to fall into the desire to look after oneself, and we must do that, be inclusive, but beyond thinking, always beyond. Blessed to be a blessing to our community. And we trust that our Christmas gatherings and that we do, wherever we might be in this community and other churches, are opportunities for people to come and hear the gospel. But each of us, in our homes, in our workplace, our places of play, wherever we might go, we bring ourselves, we bring Christ, we bring the gospel. And pray for little opportunities to share that gospel with others around about you. Watch and see the opportunities. Don't be afraid. Speak one sentence, then two, and if they want to hear more, would you like to sit down and think more deeply on the things of God? That's what Paul was trying to remind us in the very last thing, is the first thing of great importance. The gospel is for all people to be heard. In verses 23 through to 29 then, he says, thank you. Thank you to the church in Rome. And he says, thank you also to the churches whom he has gone and visited, for not only just being mindful of him, but financially supporting the ministry and on workers of his own gospel work. And so I say to you today, thank you for your support of me and my in ministry at this church and beyond as the gospel goes forth. Paul here was thanking the churches for their contribution to those who are less fortunate, most likely needing material needs met, food, shelter, but also to support gospel work, to be going into Jerusalem and to other places. Thank you during these difficult times of still giving financially towards the church and ministry in this place. And in the coming year, a good way to do this, to budget to give towards, if the gospel ministry is of value to us and we're grateful for someone sharing the good news with us, then we will see that in our giving and giving that towards others. And God knows what we can do in that situation. God knows how much and how little we give. Support financially churches and ministry, Paul is saying in verses 23 to 29. Third thing he picks up in verses 30 to 33 is to pray. Pray for God's work and his workers. And we are a praying church. And Fiona is going to come up very shortly, and as we do each Sunday, and pray for the work that goes on in this place and beyond. And thank you for your praying for our Link missionaries, for the work that goes on. It's been exciting seeing what God is doing during these days. But Paul in these verses says, thank you to the church for praying. Talk to God about the work that's going on. Pray for your work that God's doing through you with the people around about you, in your family, in your places of work or leisure or rest, wherever it might be. Always bring it before God in prayer. In verses 1 to 16 of chapter 16 and 21 to 24, there's a long list of greetings. And you often think, you know, why has Paul put all these greetings in here? Greet such and such, greet such and such. It'd be interesting, and we may well find these people when we meet in glory, but it'd be interesting to know who these people were. But isn't it lovely how Paul knew them each by name and knew things that were going on in these people's lives? And I want to say thank you again to you during this time for your care for one another and keeping in contact with people and greeting them, maybe by a phone call or by an email message or a card or something in that way, or meeting together. Thank you for doing that. And the fourth thing here, he's saying, be a welcoming church. Greet and gather one another. It's important to gather together, to encourage one another. Like coals in a fire, we keep ourselves enthused for the gospel, enthused for the things of God together. But be a welcoming church. And I think we are a welcoming church. And our new people coming and visiting us will know if we are or not. And so We aim to be a welcoming, a greeting church. And that's what Paul points out. See that the gospel is for all. Be a church that's looking to seek all people to be saved. Support that financially and prayerfully. Budget to do so. Plan to do so. And be a welcoming church. Greet and gather. The fifth thing is, in verses 17 through to 24, is again, this has been a big theme through Romans as well, is to make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. We can pick our friends. We're stuck with our relatives. And I'm glad we have our relatives in Christ. But it doesn't mean we always get on with each other. And that means that we have to work at that with this, with the Spirit of God and his guidance by his word. And so Paul here is concerned for the church in Rome, the Romans, Christians, the Jewish Christians, the Gentile Christians, to get on and to work together, to listen to each other. You may remember a couple of weeks ago over disputable matters. The stronger will be one that will go, this matter really isn't that of importance to me to win in this situation. I will listen and do for the other. I'll be as Christ for them. For them. Thinking of others before oneself. Pleasing the other before oneself. It's about making every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual building up of God's people. And what a wonderful family to belong to when that's happening, isn't it? When we know that we're working at effort to lead towards peace and mutual edification. And the final thing that Paul says in this letter is in verses 25 to 27, is in all things, trust God and give him the glory. Trust God and give him the glory. We can go through life with many plans, but we must trust in God and give him the glory through it all. The letter of Romans is a great letter. It's a foundational letter in the New Testament. It's been a lot in it. The first 11 chapters we've seen is about reminding us of how we have been made right with God through the work of Jesus alone, received by faith. It's by grace you have been saved, not through anything you've done or I've done, but through what Christ Jesus has done for you, received by faith. At chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, there was a turning point. You remember? He says, in view of this mercy, undeserved favour towards us, now seek to be more and more like Jesus with the help of the Spirit of God. Work with him to be sanctified, to be more and more like Jesus. And so chapters 12 through to this here is now, in view of God's mercy shown towards us, let us live as God's people, as people who are like Christ to one another. It's easy to remember, it's easy to think on these things. And finally, Paul ends off with this little doxology in this prayer. He says, now to him who is able to establish you. Isn't that a wonderful, reassuring little word there? He is able to establish you in this. All right, so God is at work in you and me in this church to continue to work at establishing us in the gospel and knowing how we're right with God and growing to be more and more like Jesus individually and corporately as his people. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so wrapping up, here we go. Just reminding ourselves once more. Seek to reach all. Think inclusive and beyond the local church. Support financially churches and ministry and budget to give. All need to hear the gospel. Pray for God's work and workers. We are welcoming church, greet and gather. Make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Trust in God and give him the glory. These are Paul's final words that he wants ringing in our ears as we leave this letter and go elsewhere in the scriptures. They may seem obvious, but they're very important things for us to be doing. We're servants of the gospel, and this is what God has called us to be. And the final song that I've chosen to put up on the screen for us to listen to is just that, by A City of Light. So let's listen into that now as we finish off with it. I'll pray and lead us into that song. Heavenly Father, we have much to be thankful to you for those who have made known to us the gospel. The good news is worth sharing and supporting. In these final words that Paul has written, Lord, he shows us how. We want to learn from his wisdom. And so, Father God, we ask that we may take to heart the joy and privilege it is to be saved people, sanctified people, through the work of Christ, so that we may be servants of the gospel. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
was listening to a podcast recently which suggested that one important role of the creeds for us as modern Western Christians is to acknowledge that our faith is not a personal invention, but that we're linked through time and space to what has been consistently taught and understood by Christians for hundreds of years and in many different places. So let's stand together now and say the words of the creed together to show that we here today in Abbotsford in Sydney are also aligned with this common faith with these words. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated, and Fiona's going to lead us in prayer.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Please join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Lord God, G-O-D, these three letters with which we name you are a pathetic inadequacy. How can one word carry the message of the origin of that massive glory, the fringes of which astronomers and space probes are encountering within the majesty of the cosmos? How can this one word convey or even hint at the source of all intricate glory which geneticists are unravelling within all living things? How can one three-letter word serve to point to the secret of the glory which medical science is exploring within the human brain and philosophers ponder within the phenomenon of self-consciousness? How shall we, who are of the church, use this frail word, God, to declare the incomparable glory of saving, healing love, which we still find confronting us in Christ Jesus? O source and goal of our being, joy and light of our aspiring, all our words are too inadequate to even hint at your adequacy. Help us to back up our use of the word God with such integrity, love, humility, and a sense of awe that others may catch a glimpse of the wonder that has touched and redeemed us and of the Spirit who incognito is at work within them through Jesus Christ, our brother and Lord. Amen. We pray for the universal church. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, you've taught us to pray and to give thanks for all people. Receive our prayers for the universal church, that it may know the power of your Spirit, and that all your children may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity and godly love. We pray for your servant, Glenn Davies, our bishop, together with Michael Steed and all ministers of your word and sacrament, Lord, by their life and teaching, may your glory be revealed and all nations drawn to you. Guide and prosper, we pray, those who strive for the spread of your gospel, and enlighten with your Spirit all places of work, learning, and healing. Lord, we pray for those who have authority and responsibility among the nations, especially for the newly elected President of the USA. May they all rule with wisdom and justice, promote peace and well-being in the world. To this congregation and all your people in their different callings, give your heavenly grace that we may hear your holy word with reverent and obedient hearts and serve you truly all the days of our life. In your compassion, Father, comfort and heal those who are in trouble, sorrow, need, or sickness. We remember Lynn, Jean, Kay, Max, and others known personally to us. We praise and thank you for all your saints and for the heroes of the faith in every generation. And we remember before you your servants who have died, praying that we may enter with them into the fullness of your unending joy. Thank you for hearing this prayer. Amen. Loving Father, we give thanks for the opportunity to worship you here weekly at St. Andrew's. We pray for Trevor and Rosemary. We pray for Karen and for Emily and all serving us here. And pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to guide and direct them. Please help us, Father, work in unity and have a greater vision than just what happens here in this church, but be concerned for all those in our community who as yet are lost and do not know the love of our Lord Jesus. Please have mercy on them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you know our need for a new director for the kindergarten. Please help us be wise in choosing, and may the right person be available soon. We pray also for Anthony with his mission in January, that you would not only be preparing his heart, but also the hearts of those whom he is going to talk with you about. We pray for our preparations for Christmas, that these again would be events that glorify you and that hold Christ high and give him the glory that is due. And we give thanks for our missionaries, Fiona and Ricardo and Jessica and Shine, and pray that you would sustain and enable them through these unusual times, continuing to fill them with your Spirit and give them the hope that can only be found in Jesus. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord God, you know that so many countries are still in the depth of the COVID pandemic. Please give wisdom to their leaders, and we pray for quick access for them to the vaccine. We pray for those unemployed because of COVID, and we long that they would realise and remember their value is not in what they do. Their true worth is only found in knowing you and being known by you. While jobless, help them use their time wisely and be open to whatever you want to teach them. Lord, for those who have contracted COVID and are learning to live with the debilitating effects, please help them be patient, persevere, and may they come to value, if they don't already, something greater than good health. That is, help them value good spiritual health, loving, knowing, and trusting you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And in this season of Advent, we pray, Lord, you are the God of all people. We thank you that 2,000 years ago you sent John the Baptizer who called for all to repent, not just back then, but today as well. Help us to hear his voice of judgment, that we may also rejoice in his word of promise and be found pure and blameless in that glorious day when Christ comes to rule the earth as Prince of Peace, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Be exalted, Lord, above the heavens.
Let your glory cover the earth.
Keep our nation under your justice and care.
And guide us in justice and truth.
Let your way be known on earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Send out your light and truth. Hear our prayers, O Lord.
For we put our trust in you.
So in terms of announcements, importantly, in the next couple of weeks in the life of the church, we have our annual family Christmas celebration pageant service coming up on the 20th of December. So everyone get ready for that. I think Karen's just figuring out with the new rules exactly where everyone can go and fit in and how we're going to make it work. So look forward to that again this year. And then on Christmas Day, which is Friday this year, our Christmas service, as ever, starts at 9 o'clock, not 9:30. So if you're going to be here to join with us all for Christmas Day, that's at 9 o'clock on the 25th of December. Did you want to say something, Trevor?
Just as David did say, we will be going back, Lord willing, to some restrictions of worshipping together from next Sunday. And one of those will be singing Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I have missed singing, really have. At this stage, I think it's going to be still through our masks at this stage. Our bishops are fighting behind the scenes and in the scenes to sort of be doing the right thing, but also helping our authorities to know how we can do this responsibly as well. So at this stage, we will be singing, and our singers will be practicing after church today. You'll hear them singing for next Sunday. And so come with a mask, come with singing. And if we are allowed to take our mask off, I'll let you know at the beginning of the service. But for those who will choose to leave their masks on, please do so and do that. In the light of that, in talking with Parish Council last week, we are very grateful for how you've all worked well in keeping over these last 6 months, in keeping us safe and doing things appropriately and properly and safely together. So congratulations and thank you for doing just that. One of the things that came up was that like last Sunday, we had our masks on, it was quite hot, and I said to you, look, if you feel like taking your mask off, please do so. And we thought that that might be something that if you are choosing to wear a mask, you know, and you want to take it off to talk to somebody, just ask the person, look, do you mind if I take my mask off and talk to you that way, and keeping social distancing together in that way, so to make sure that we're safe in that way. And thank you for sitting down and chatting afterwards, or going outside and doing that and following people up and keeping in touch with one another. And so I just want to say thank you to God, and I just want to close with a little prayer, or just before we go into this time, just allow you now just to be still and quiet and to think on the things of God, to pray and to be thankful for where we're at now. But as Fiona has also already been praying, and we can continue quietly in this moment, there are many, many hundreds and thousands of people who are still struggling with this in other countries. And may we not forget to be mindful of them, even in our blessed state where we are here. So let's just pause and be quiet and have a quiet prayer to God, and I'll close in a moment with. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for where we are at this moment to be able to worship you. We thank you for keeping us safe during these days, And we're mindful of those, Father, for whom it's still a struggle or have been affected by COVID. We thank you for those who have been caring for us and providing care for us. We thank you, Father God, for the opportunity now to sing again next week. And may our voices lifted to you be one of great praise and thankfulness. Gracious Father God, as we go from here, continue to keep us, help us to be wise, help us to be mindful always of the need of others around about us, that we may be able to relate to each other in a safe way, still mindful of the things that we need to do so. And so, Father, thank you. And we ask that in these times ahead, we may continue to do what is right. In Jesus' name, amen.
So let's say this prayer together to close our service. Lord Jesus Christ, send us out with confidence in your word to tell the world of your saving acts and bring glory to your name. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Thank you.